Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
God is good, amen. Why don't you turn with me to Proverbs 14:4, and I'm going to get going. I got quite a bit to get to, and I got about 42 minutes to do it in before you go to class. And that song just really hit me this morning because that's kind of what I'm preaching on. I'm preaching on giving God our whole heart so no matter what our circumstances are around us, that we still find joy, that we still find peace, and we learn to appreciate whatever circumstances we find ourselves in because we know there's a means to an end. Amen? We know that God doesn't leave you. If it's not good yet, God's not done. Amen? Why don't you look at a neighbor this morning and just say, if it's not good yet, God's not done. Amen? Proverbs 14:4 is a short piece of scripture. We're going to get into some more scripture here shortly, but we're going to start with this one. If everybody's there, say amen. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. The NLT version says it like this: without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just love you this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to get up here and fill this pulpit for our leader. Father, I just pray that you would work through me this morning, that I would be your vessel, that everything that you poured in me this week to pour out on your people, Father, will come out the way that you want it. I pray, Lord, that I won't speak a word that you don't want spoken, and Father, that I will speak every word that you want your people to hear this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. See, some of us, church, and what I deem this scripture to mean a lot of times is that we want the miracle without the mess. How many of you know that sometimes we want the good things of God, we want the miracles, we want the things that come to us, we want the strength, we want the perseverance, we want the courage, we want the build up in our lives, we want to be spiritual giants, but we don't want to go through anything to get it. See, this says that I want the harvest, but I don't want to have to deal with the ox. But how many of you know that the ox is what brings you the harvest? Sometimes in the mess is when our God works the best. What are you saying, Pastor Steve? Are you saying this morning that our God only works through messes? No, that's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying that sometimes in our lives, God works best in our mess, maybe because in our mess, then we finally submit our whole lives to Him. And God works best in our life when we are submitted wholly and completely unto Him. And sometimes it takes a mess in our life. It takes us walking through some mud. It takes us walking through some situations to find ourselves completely and utterly submitted to Him. Amen? See, the prodigal son, we're all pretty familiar with the prodigal son. The prodigal son was living life large, right? He was large and in charge. He was going through this life just spending his daddy's money and having all kinds of fun until he found himself in the mud. Until he found himself laid up in the mud with a couple of pigs and feeding the pigs and being jealous of what the pigs were eating, that maybe being submitted to my father wasn't so bad. Do you think that maybe after the prodigal son got up out of that mud and after he made the long trek home and after his father received him and after his father blessed him and after his father killed the fatted calf, that just maybe he had some appreciation for that mud? Just maybe he would learn to appreciate what he had gone through to get to where he had gotten. Because he had the blessings before from his father, but he couldn't appreciate the blessings because he didn't realize that he could live life without them and how bad it would get. So to be submitted to our father makes us sometimes appreciate the stuff that we go through in order to get there. Amen? My message today is called For the Love of Mud. For the love of mud. It could also be called learning to appreciate the mud. Learning to appreciate the mess. There was a time when Colin was a lot younger. He was about 10 years old. That's my son. He's 15 now in high school. But when he was about 10, he had spent some time at his grandparents' house and they were tilling a garden. And he got all excited about planting this garden and working in the dirt and doing all this stuff. And then he came home. See, his grandparents live on 40 acres. We live in a neighborhood, deed restricted. Okay? He comes home and he decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plant my own garden. Now, at the time, we had been paying for lawn care and people to come in and make sure our grass looks as nice as possible so all our neighbors don't get upset with us, you know. Make sure everything looks great. Colin takes it upon himself to go out and pull a hoe and a rake out of the garage and go out into the middle of the best part of my yard. In the best part of my yard, where the grass was the greenest, where it looked the best, where I was so proud of it, and dig himself up a garden and pull up all of my sod. And then he came in the house excited and wanted me to come see it like he did something good. So I follow him outside. I'm like, all right, buddy, let's go. Let's go look what you did. I turned the corner and there was all of my pretty grass that I'd paid so much money to look good. And it was gone and it was nothing but dirt. Now, what do you think happened? I could have won Father of the Year award at that point, but oh, that's great, son. Absolutely. Let's plant this garden. But that's not what I did. Man, I blew up. I can't believe you dug up all my grass, son. I can't believe you. Look at it. It's all dirt now. I'm going to have to spend money to fix what you just done. And he looked at me with hurt in his eyes. And he ran in the house and ran into his room. And I walked in, and that still didn't faze me. I didn't care that he was hurt. I was mad about my grass. And I walked in, and I walked into the bedroom. And Jessica comes in, and she asked me, what are you doing? Why is Colin so upset? And I explained the situation to her. And she said, honey, sometimes wives have the most wisdom, don't they? She said, honey, she said, would you rather have perfect grass and no sun? Or would you rather have a messed up yard and have a son that you love that's a blessing to your life? She brought that into perspective for me. See, he went out and dug up my grass, and yes, without my son, I would have had a perfect yard. But I would much rather have my son than have a perfect yard. Amen? She put that into perspective. Sometimes a little too well, because now my yard don't have much grass in it at all. We stopped paying people to take care of my yard, and I don't have time to take care of my yard. And now my yard is mostly grass, so I've taken that completely to the extreme. So now when I pull up in my driveway and I see nothing but dirt across my yard, I say, Lord, you blessed me. Amen? You blessed me with my kids. So what's better, a clean stable or no oxen? See, we've got a kind of an unspoken thing in our house with our kids, and we allow our kids to have animals, right? And not only do we allow our kids to pick out an animal here and there and have animals, but we pretty much allow them and give them some leeway that whatever animals they want to pick and have and try for a while, we'll do that. We're pretty open about it, and probably sometimes we shouldn't be as open. Amen? So we found ourselves in times with different cats and different dogs, and we found ourselves in times with tortoises and flying squirrels, and then we found ourselves one time with a ferret, but the ferret was me because I love that movie Beastmaster, and I just thought it would be cool, but I didn't look good in the outfit, so we had to get rid of the ferret. But I just thought it would be cool. So we found ourselves with all of these different animals. And we give our kids the opportunity to be good at being an animal owner in all the ways. But how many of you know that sometimes they want the puppy, but they don't want the poopy? Sometimes our kids want the puppy. They want all the things that come with the puppy. They want the puppy breath. They want the good stuff. They want the cuddles. They want to hang out on the couch with the puppy. They want to walk the puppy. They want all the people to go, oh, what a cute puppy. They want all of this stuff in their life. But then when it comes time to clean up the poopy, they don't want it. Amen. So we've gone through some animals in our house. But how many of you know Christians, sometimes we want the puppy, but we don't want the mess that comes with it. We want the increase, but we don't want to walk through anything to be increased. Amen. We want the harvest without the oxen. But with the oxen, we got to shovel the trough. Let's talk about mud for just a second. And there's lots of properties of mud. There's lots of things that we use in our society with mud. How many are familiar with mud runs? Right? Some folks in here, Liz does mud runs sometimes with her husband. They do mud runs, right? These people have all of this big field, and they just create a whole bunch of mud and an obstacle course through it, and they go out, and I think it's supposed to be athletic, but most of the people I see doing mud runs aren't very athletic looking. So I'm thinking rather than being athletic, they just want to go get dirty, They just want to go play in the mud, right? So that's one use that we have in our society of mud today. Now, not only in our society, but in some third world nations, they build houses out of mud. They build bricks and build houses and they fill in cracks in walls with mud, and when it dries, it's hard and it seals the outside elements from getting in. They say there's therapeutic reasons for putting mud on your skin. They do mud treatments at spas, right? It's supposed to make you prettier, supposed to do something for your skin. They say that if you rub mud into your scalp, it'll get rid of flakes. It'll get rid of dry scalp. I haven't tried that yet, but some of you might have to let me know how that was, right? There is some grown men spend a lot of money and build big trucks just to go drive them through the mud and break them, right? Just to go get in the mud. Arnold Schwarzenegger, mud saved his life in Predator 1. Anybody with me on that? Do you remember Predator 1 when the Predator was chasing him down? He was almost dead, but then what? He fell in the mud. Predator couldn't see him. So what do we take away from that? If you ever find yourself in a Vietnamese jungle and you're being chased by a predator from outer space, just get in the mud and cover yourself up, and the mud will help you. Amen? Amen. Which brings me to my first point this morning. Actually, that doesn't bring me to my first point this morning at all, but we're going to go to my first point this morning, which is no mess, no ministry. No mess, no ministry. You see, sometimes, church, we can find ourselves in a situation where we've been rescued out of our mess. We've been cleaned up out of our mud, and we find ourselves, we've been cleaned up for a while, and we forget what it was like to be in our mess. We forget what it was like to be in our mud, so that when other people are muddy and messy and walk into our lives or walk into our situations, we go, don't bring that mess up in here. And we forget that it is the mess is the reason they are here. We forget that it is the mess is the reason they were pushed to God. Because if it wasn't for their mess, they may have kept on going in the direction that they're headed. But because God allowed them to fall into a mud pit, because God allowed them to fall into a mess, then they turned around and they changed their mind. I don't know about you, but it was a mud pit and it was a mess where I changed my mind. So if we turn around for people and we say no and we push people off just because they're a little bit muddy, just because they're a little bit dirty, then we can't truly appreciate the mud and what it did, because it pushed them to Jesus Christ. Amen? No mess, no ministry. You see, in order for us to be an Acts 2 church, we need growth. We do have growth, but we need more growth. And in order to grow more, we need more people. And where you find more people, you find more mud. You find more messes. See, if you walk up into a church that never has a problem, if you walk into a church that never has a conflict, if you walk into a church that's never praying deliverance over somebody, that's never praying for somebody to be loosed from bondage, if you walk up into that church and it looks perfect, they're probably not doing any ministry. See, ministry brings stains. Sometimes it'll stain your clothes. Sometimes it'll stain your carpet. But when people come and they're muddy and they're dirty, you're happy to clean up the stains, and you learn to appreciate the mud. See, we have to be willing to look past that mess to see this ministry. I'm here to tell you this morning, and this is the word that's gotten into my spirit, that if you've walked into this house today and you're muddy, you've walked into this house today and you're messy, you may be broken right now. You may be messy, you may be dirty right now, but our God has a vision for your life. You don't have to stay that way. And we're not going to be scared of a little bit of mud. We're not going to be scared of a little bit of dirt, but we're going to walk up and we're going to embrace you and disciple you and help you into a new dimension in your life. See, church, we won't see deliverances, we won't see salvation, we won't see discipleship if we get stuck looking at the mud. See, sometimes we can miss the entire person just staring at the mud. See, sometimes we can miss the ministry that God has called us to in the person if we're just staring at the mud. See, sometimes we can get off track and just see the mud. What is that mud gonna do to our carpet? What is that mud gonna do to my clothes? What is that mud gonna do to me? Is that mud gonna rub off on me? Is that mud gonna make me dirty? I don't know, but I don't know if I want to get close enough to that mud, because it might rub off on me. And Jesus is calling us today to walk right right up. Walk right up into that mud and wrap our hands around that person. Look past the mud. Look past the dirtiness. Look past the clothes and just love them into the kingdom. Amen. Where there's no mess, there's no ministry. If you haven't gotten dirty yet, you're not doing ministry. If you haven't gotten some mud on your carpet, if you haven't gotten some mud on your clothes, if you haven't got some snot and some tears and some sweat on your jacket, you're not doing ministry yet. Amen? Jesus asked once a man, do you want to be healed? And it was a lame man. And we read that and we go, of course he wants to be healed. Of course he doesn't want to be lame. Why in the world would you ask him that, Jesus? Why would you ask him if he wanted to be? Of course he wants to. Jesus knows everything. And the reason he asked him that is because it was in question in the man's mind. See, we look at that as a lame individual, a person with broken legs, a person who can't walk, a person who can't move. We look at that and say that would be silly for him not to want to receive healing. But how many of you know there's so many people that walk up into the church house? There's so many people that come in our back door that have broken hearts. Their hearts are torn in two and they don't want to be healed yet. There's people that walk into our church house that have emotions that are torn in two, that have marriages that are torn in two, and they're not ready for it to be healed yet. Why in the world would they not be ready for it to be healed yet? Because they're too in love with their dirt to turn it over to Jesus. See, times are changing in the United States, if you haven't noticed. We as a church, we gotta be ready. We gotta be strong. See, we got to stop staring at the mud, staring at the dirt, and start praying for the people. We need to stop cursing the dirt. We need to stop cursing the mud, and we need to start praying that God brings those people through it, and that mud and that dirt pushes them in our direction so that we can love them, in our direction so that we can see them delivered, in our direction so that we can see them healed, in our direction so that we can see them whole, in our direction so that their hearts become whole so that they can love again, church. It's like asking a married couple sometime, do you want to fix it? And one says yes and one says no. Because they're not ready to put themselves back out again. And you as a church, you might have ministered to people in the past and you might have been hurt. You might not be ready to put yourself back out again. So you might be withholding good things from people who need it because you have a fear of what it might do to you. But I'm here to tell you that James 4:17 says, for him who knows to do good and does it not is guilty of sin. So if that's you today and you've been holding people at a distance because of your own fears, because you don't want to get dirty, because you don't want to get hurt, then I'm calling you this morning to repent. I'm calling you to repent this morning. Repent to God and ask God to bring those people across your path so that you can do what you're called to do. Amen? Point number two this morning is this. No mess, no message. If there's no mess, then there's no message. If there was no mess, then Jesus didn't have to come to fix it. If there was no mess, then Jesus didn't have to come die on a cross. If there was no mess, then we would still be trying to follow Moses' rules to get to heaven. But there was a mess, and God sent Jesus to this planet to fix it. God sent Jesus to this planet to die on a cross for our mess. So I don't love being in a mess. I don't love being dirty, but I appreciate the situation because it pushed me into need of my Savior who stepped into my life and changed my life. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. If you want to turn there, it'll be on the screen, but I'm going to move through it. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Isn't that what lawyers do, Steve? They stand up and test them. A certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Rabbi, how in the world do I get to heaven? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And because attorneys don't see things with broad strokes, but they see things with small, fine print. Jesus said, what is your reading of it? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly answered. Do this, and you will live. Do this, and you'll get to heaven. and he could have left it right there. But the attorney wasn't ready to leave it alone. The attorney wasn't ready to drop it, was he? And he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, sometimes when we ask Jesus a question, sometimes he gives us an answer and sometimes he gives us a story. In this case, he gave him a story. The attorney said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, and when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, given them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he, the attorney, said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now that's where the story ends. But in my mind, the attorney very well at that moment could have said, "That's impossible. That's impossible. That doesn't make any sense," because telling the story as a certain man traveling this certain road makes him a Jew. And a priest, we all know, can't touch the dead. So if he was traveling that road and he looked half dead, he very well might have been dead. So the priest couldn't touch him, right? The descendants of Aaron couldn't touch him. So he traveled as far as close to the curb on the other side as he could to not defile himself. And then the Levite came along. Who was the Levites? The Levites were the family members of Aaron's family who served as associate pastors in the church. Served as the associate pastors. And the Levite came along and said, "Well, you know, the law says I can't touch him. The law says he's a Samaritan," right? Or the law says I can't touch him. So the Levite goes on by on the other side of the road. And then along comes a Samaritan. What does the word say about Samaritans? What does history say about Samaritans? Samaritans were half Jewish and half other people that lived in the land, and Jews had nothing to do with them. So if we know the half-dead man was a Jew, and then the Samaritan came along and helped him, why in the world would the Samaritan help him? This story didn't make sense, and an attorney in that time would have known that this story doesn't make sense unless you know one thing. You see, we, church, are the broken and dying man. We, church, are the man that's laying in the road, that's been robbed, that's been beaten, that's almost dead. We, church, are those people. And guess what? Religion coming along can't save us. Religion coming along will get as far from us as they can. They'll walk on the other side of the road to walk around us. And the law? The law can't save us, because the law comes along and the law will get on the other side of the road to walk around him, because the law can't save us. But who was the Samaritan? Who was the good Samaritan? Jesus Christ was the good Samaritan. And you say, "But Jesus Christ was Jewish. He wasn't half Jewish." I beg to differ. Jesus Christ was born to a Jewish mother and the Holy Spirit. He was only half Jewish. Only Jesus Christ could pay our price. Only Jesus Christ could pick us up and heal us. Only Jesus Christ would pick us up and put us on his animal. Only Jesus Christ would pour out oil and wine on our broken bodies. Only Jesus Christ would pay our price. Because in those days, if you didn't pay your room and board, if you didn't pay what was owed, you'd go to jail. You'd go to jail. How many of you know today that we can't pay our own price? We can't heal our own bodies. We can't heal our own brokenness, but I know one who can. I know the good Samaritan who comes along and pours oil and wine on my brokenness, who pours oil and wine on my body, and who pays my price. Amen. We can't pay for broken humanity, but Jesus said, "I can." We couldn't do it. We can't do it. But Jesus says, "I can." And if you'll get off the law, and if you get away from religion, and you'll follow me,
and you'll follow me who completed the law, then you can do my work and you can help me heal broken humanity. Amen. Point number three. No mess, there's no mercy. How many of you in this place this morning are thankful for God's mercy in your life? Oh, don't forget about your mess that brought you to His mercy. Don't forget about your brokenness that He needed to heal. Be thankful for the mud. Appreciate the mud, because in the mud comes mercy. And He pulls us out and He gently begins to clean us. He gently begins to pour oil on us. He gently begins to pour the new wine on us. Amen. Psalms 103:13-14 reads like this: as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Some of us strive so hard to be perfect. Some of us strive so hard to reach perfection. And then when we can't reach perfection on our own, we're so hard on ourselves. We're so religious on ourselves. We're so legalistic on ourselves. But God gives us mercy, because He knows we are dust. See, we need to know, church, that we are dust. He formed us from the dust of the ground. Sometimes when you are dust, life gets dirty. Sometimes when you are dust, life gets messy. Do you stay there? No, you cry out and God rescues you. And God brings you mercy and then builds you up, and you have stepping stones made out of that mud. I told you that they use mud to make bricks. They use mud to make bricks, and God will use that mud to make bricks in your life to become stepping stones so that you can step up out of your mess. Don't be surprised when your life gets messy. You are dust. Understand that when we get into the mess, God uses it for our progress. See, when your marriage is a mess, when your job situation is a mess, when your housing situation is a mess, when your parenting is a mess, when you've just plain old blown it big time and it's a mess, don't cower trying to fix it yourself, but cry out to God for His mercy, because only He can come and rescue you and heal what is broken. Amen. John 9:1-11 reads like this: as Jesus was walking along, He saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, His disciples asked Him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? They just assumed. They just assumed it was something that he did or his parents did. They just assumed. Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God to be seen in him. I want to stop right there for a second. What brokenness in your life? What mess have you found yourself in? What mud have you walked through so that the power of God could be seen and evident in your lives? Are you still walking through the mud, or have you allowed Jesus to come in and prove the power of God evident to those around you in your lives? We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then He spit on the ground and He made mud with the saliva. He spread the mud over the blind man's eyes and He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Isn't this the woman who used to chase drugs? Isn't that the man who used to cheat on his wife? Isn't that the man whose car is parked at the bar every night? What happened? Jesus healed him. Some said he was. Others said, no, that can't be. It just looks like him. It just looks like him. That can't be him. That can't be him. But the beggar said, yes, I am the same one. It was me. Because when God heals you, you can't be quiet about it. When God steps into your mess and pulls you out of it, you can't be quiet about it. You don't sit quietly in the chair and let them wonder if I was the one. You don't sit there with your mouth shut, but you jump up and you say, yes, that was me. Let me tell you my testimony. I was broken. I was stuck. I was blind. I was a beggar. I had nothing in this world until Jesus stepped into my situation. And then when Jesus stepped into my situation, I slowly stood up, and then I slowly walked out of that mud pit that I had been laying in, and then I walked into a life of purpose and a life of prosperity and a life of love, because Jesus had other plans for me than to leave me there in my mess. He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. There's a couple of things I find interesting in this. First of all, Siloam means sent. And if Jesus had not put mud in the man's eyes, he may not have gone to the pool to wash himself. Are you with me this morning? If Jesus hadn't put mud in his eyes and instead just said, you know, if you go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, you'll probably see. The man would have said, eh, maybe later. The man might have said, eh, what, you just can't speak a word, Jesus? I don't want to have to get up. Can't you just send a preacher along to prophesy over me? Can't you just speak it out? Can't you just reach over and touch me? Can't you do something easy? Why do I have to get up? But man, when you find yourself with mud caked in your eyes, mud and spit. When you find yourself with mud caked in your eyes, you have to go wash, right? You have to go wash, because it's one thing, this young guy was, or older guy, whatever he was, I don't know, it doesn't say his age. This man was blind. It was one thing, but now he's blind with mud and spit in his eyes. He had to go wash. See, sometimes God will use the mud. Sometimes God will use the mud in our lives. Sometimes God will rub mud in our eyes to get us to come to the house of God, to get us to get here and be washed so that we can see. You see, dirt and dust represents who we are apart from Christ. That's our humanity, our structure. That's our material. That's what we were created from. But we know that water is a representation of the Spirit, of Jesus, of salvation, of renewal, of hope, of love, and of mercy. So what do we get when we get our structure, which is dirt, our structure, which is dust, and we mix it with the water of Christ? We get mud. And in that mud, we get sent. Amen? Action comes forth. Healing happens. See, if you were made from the dust of the ground, and due to a broken world, a world racked with sin from Adam and Eve, where you have parts of you that are broken. Come help me close, please. See, there's no shame in it. If you need cleansed, there's no shame in it, because that's what I've been preaching. There's no pride allowed in this. You have to recognize that you are but dirt. But with the water, you can be cleansed. With the water, you can see. If you're in this house today, Spirit Life Team, I'd like you to be ready. Don't come yet, but I would like you to be ready. If you're in this house today and your soul feels like dirt, if you're in this house today and your heart feels like dirt, maybe your willpower feels like dirt, maybe your ability to love is broken and it feels like dirt, maybe your ability to show grace to other people is broken this morning, and it feels like dirt. Maybe your ability to forgive you're withholding from someone because your ability to forgive this morning feels like dirt. Maybe your willingness to step in and repair your marriage or repair a relationship in your life is broken and it feels like dirt. Just add water. Just add water. It doesn't matter how far gone, how far broken, how far hurt. Just add water. Just add Jesus. But I come to church every Sunday, Steve. But are you making the effort to get up and go to the pool? I come and sit in this every Sunday, Steve. I listen to Pastor every week, Steve. Sometimes I even go back and listen to the podcast. But have you gotten up and went and washed in the pool? See, sometimes those chains will remain until we get up. Sometimes they won't break off in our life until we stand. And then once we stand, they fall off. And then once those chains fall off, we find our legs free to move. And we can begin to move forward. I'm going to ask you this morning, not to fear, to not be afraid of your mess, to not say, I don't need people to see me and know that I need something from God. But you realize that everyone in this room is but dirt. There is no one in this room greater than any other. Don't allow somebody else sitting in this room to steal from you what God might have for you this morning. Don't be afraid of your mess. Don't be afraid to offer up your messy life to Christ, but ask Him courageously to pour His water on it. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Matter of fact, stand with me this morning. If you're in this place this morning and you're far from God or you don't know God and you want to know Him, you want help with your situation, you want salvation, you want to receive the water of salvation this morning. If that's you and you're in this house, I'm just asking you to put a hand up and then simply put it back down. I see those hands. Thank you. Maybe you've been saved, but you're far from God. And you want to get it right this morning. This morning you want to turn, do an about face. You want to march in a new direction. If that's you in this house, lift a hand just quickly and put it back down. I see that hand. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you. Let's pray for these folks as a church, and then I'm going to open up the altars. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for this church and I thank you for these people. I thank you, Father, for those that lifted their hands this morning and recognize that they don't want to keep doing it on their own, but they need your water in their lives to wash them of the mess so that they can continue moving forward in the direction that you have for them. Everyone in the room, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me of my mess. I recognize that you died on a cross for me. And I recognize that you give me salvation freely. All I have to do is ask. Lord, thank you for saving me this morning. Lord, don't just leave me how you found me this morning, but continue to disciple me and move me further. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.